This is the Four Man Rush.
Hello, Panther fans, and welcome to another podcast of the Four Man Rush. I'm your host, Timmy Vio, and we're here to talk about episode 96 with you guys and the Colts game this past Sunday and roster movements and all the other good stuff. So hold on to your hats, folks. The Four Man Rush is on the scene. Glad you're with us. Recording live on Facebook and Twitter. Always join us, man. Always do that. We'll get the guys on here and we're going to talk football.
You know, after using these life-changing products, you're going to want to join a ball sack beauty contest, buddy. I'm looking out for you too, because I have an exclusive 20% off discount on behalf of the Four Man Rush and Manscaped. Use this code 4MRSCAPED20. Okay, that's 4MRSCAPED20, all one line, right? Go to manscaped.com and you get 20% off and free shipping off of your total order. Isn't that, that's really good stuff. It's really good stuff. You got to check it out, right? That's 4MRSCAPED20. That's the code. Punch that in on your way out, when you check out, after you get all your goodies. And there you go, man. And enjoy keeping your ball sack in tip-top shape, okay? You know, Manscaped is dedicated to helping you level up your full-body grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0 kit. Okay, so look for that when you go on manscaped.com, okay?
What's up, folks? Welcome to the Four Man Rush Podcast. I'm getting ready to invite the fellas on here. What's up, Brian? Thanks for dropping by. What's up, Stephen? Hey, what's good? What's good? Oh, man. We got some defensive players. I know that. But the offensive line, we're going to talk about all that shit today. Yeah, man, that Colts game was revealing. That's for damn sure. Me personally, I'm glad Little got the fuck up out of here, though. I'm just saying, man. All right. The invite has been sent. I believe that tonight we're going to have Kevin, Jadarius, maybe even Larry. So. Yeah, as usual, Steven, you got us on the radar, man. You ready to hit us up, man. Appreciate that, yo. Appreciate that. Hey, what's up? What's up, Big King? What's good? What's good? Jay, what's up in the building? What's good? What's good? Glad you guys could join us, man. Going to have the fellows on here in just a second. You know how we do. We don't roll dolo around here. So what you guys think about old Greg Little getting the fuck up out of here? Pour some champagne and shit. I appreciate that, Steve. No doubt, man. For real. Really appreciate that, man. We working hard on this shit. Real talk. Yeah, hey. You never know, man. I don't know. Coach Rule talked about he won't agree on the hard, boy. Yeah, the mid-grade brigade. What was the other one? The I-85? Yeah, exactly, Brian. Yeah. He had to go. He had beyond his chances, man. Beyond his chances. We actually got a draft pick for him too. So yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight. Man, yeah, this way too many chances. You're right, Jay. I mean, come on, bro. I can't believe we drafted him that high. Fucking Herney, man. I swear to God. Fucking, all right. Fucking Herney, man. God Almighty. Oh, Jordan in the building. What's good, Jordan? Welcome to the Four Man Rush Podcast, fellas. It's good. Let me get some females up in here sometime, though. We would feel like Jermaine O'Neal if we watched Greg. Oh, man, yeah, right? You're right, Larry.
Like, damn.
But I don't know if he's going to get a ring in Miami, man, but you never know. He might. You know, fuck around, go somewhere and get a ring. You never know, man. You know how that goes. But yeah, I'm surprised you guys didn't know about that. We traded a little to Miami Dolphins for a seventh round pick, which is half of Little's skill set. Yeah, man. Oh, good point, man. Considering we got a pick for Turnstile and Josh Rosen got the axe for nothing. Safe to say, Fit made a good deal, got something for nothing. Exactly. Exactly. There's no way in hell Little should have been a second round pick anyway. Hell, he shouldn't even be a day two pick. You know, maybe we'll get something out of it next year. We know, you know. Hey, Federer, he ain't no punk, man. I dig it. Because considering his ability to get talent in the later rounds like it did in Seattle, who knows? That seven round pick might turn out to be a gem. One thing's for sure, it ain't Greg Little. Man, don't even bring up Sly, bro. God almighty. Don't even bring up Sly, bro. That man, bro. Mm-mm-mm. Sly, I tell you, boy. I'm not quite sure, bro. I'm not quite sure who else we released, but I knew we got something for Little, but I'm pretty sure we released some other folks. Kevin and fellas get on here, they'll drop some knowledge on you in that regard. I spend most of my time doing other shit, man. Man. Yeah, Little was lazy, bro. What's up, Bill? He was lazy. Yeah, I'm like for real. How you get this many chances and you don't capitalize on them? That tells me you don't have that grind, bro. You don't get that many chances to play at the pro level and you just shit on them. You know, what's up, Matt? What's good? What's good? Yeah, Sly got to be on thin ice, homie. Yeah, he got to be. Come on, man. You looking like that in a preseason game? Jesus Christ. It's the inconsistency for me. And over the past two seasons, how many games have we lost by 3 points or less? Don't get me started about Sly. And we drafting long snappers and shit. Really. But, you know, anyway. Jadarius is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. What's good, Jay?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Good people.
Hey, man. You know it. We're definitely going to prioritize the O-line this offseason. Got to. Oh, see what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, Larry.
Larry owned one already.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, how you feel about the old Little trade there, bud?
Huh? Look, at least we got something.
14th.
Yeah, I know, right? At least we got something out of that shit.
At least you get something for it, even though it's like half a broken Pringle or whatever. I mean,
he said half a broken.
Well, we got a fourth of his Twizzler back, but it's all good.
Oh man, you got jokes today, folks. You got jokes today. Yeah. I know Bravion got some heat from Sunday. He was getting pushed around. Jadarius wrote on that.
Yeah.
Go ahead and expand on that real quick for us, Jay. What'd you see about old boy?
Bravion, I think he had a rough outing simply because a lot of people are overlooking the nose tackle of the big guys in the interior defensive line. Mm-hmm. Their job is either you're eating double teams or you're winning 1v1, and he didn't either. And he was just like playing patty cake up there, getting moved off the point of attack. It wasn't a good game for dude. Mm-hmm. He got outplayed by some of the guys behind him straight up.
He sure did. A great point. Hey, Kev.
What up?
What's going on, man?
Nah, another glorious day in paradise.
Oh yeah. I know somebody mentioned earlier that our defense was looking pretty good from a second string standpoint. What did you think, Jadarius?
I would say the guys I was most impressed with on defense had to be the safeties. If you look at Sean Chandler, you look at Sam Franklin, you look at Kenny Robinson right up behind him. I was impressed with how well they tackled and how they were willing to tackle, which is a little different. It's a little different seeing a guy at free safety coming down and actually making tackles. And it was a breath of fresh air, to say the least. some of the corners actually stood out to me too. I like Rashawn Melvin had a nice pass breakup. Kevin Taylor, even Troy Pride had a nice play on there was a three receiver bunch on his formation. He just read his keys and made the play. So a lot of the guys, a lot of DBs flying around out there, a little bit more speed than what we're used to from back there. And I think those guys definitely were the standout position group on the defense.
Word. Kevin, your thoughts, sir? How that defense look to you?
Well, for me, I was feeling the defensive line, to be honest with you. You know, got to see, you know, Big Snack, aka, you know, Phil Hoskins, you know, make a name for himself. Number 71, you know, it seemed like he was always getting penetration to pop up in the backfield. Really can't see really too many times where he ever was going in reverse once he came out of his stance. So he was definitely showed that he could be a disruptive force. Marquise Haynes, you know, the fourth-year player out of Ole Miss, you know, he came in, he did damage. You know, he showed his growth, his maturity, his versatility, you know, because at first, you know, because he came in so light, you know, around 230, 235, you know, I was wondering if, you know, he can hold his end down and, you know, be a factor in the run game, you know, against the run. But he definitely showed his flexibility because, you know, he plays inside and out on certain packages. So that's definitely a good thing for him to use his quickness. Utir Gross Matos, you know, he put on for the city. I like the fact that he definitely showed his ability as a run stopper. And maintaining, you know, gap integrity. He also showed his ability to get to the passer. So I definitely like that aspect as well. So for me, you know, I was impressed with the line, my second string, you know, defensive line. You know, we was talking about Bravion Roy, you know, AKA T-Rex Arms, you know. But, you know, everybody's ready to, you know, cut him because – You know, because of Phil Hoskins showed up. But I mean, Bravion Roy got off to a slow start last year and really turned it on. So, you know, and then, like I say, he's a rule guy. So for all you, you know, have a fantasy, yeah, he need to be cut, you know, and, you know, save your breath for something else. Bravion Roy going to be here because, you know, even though he had a bad outing, this is when you want to get your bad outings out of the way. Like, I don't know why fans are so critical of every mistake in preseason, particularly the first preseason game. You know, this is when you want to dump all that out. You don't want to wait to the regular season for mistakes to really magnify themselves when the games count. You know, when everything matters the most. So it's a good opportunity to see how he comes back. And plays going to go up against a very good offensive line from in the Baltimore Ravens. So, you know, I definitely expect to see a bounce back game. Now, wondering how much the starters are going to play. So, this is definitely going to be an interesting game from a trench point of view as far as seeing if the players that did well against the Colts, if that's going to transition over. And also get a look at our starters, you know, Derrick Brown, Daquan Jones, you know, you know, Morgan Fox, you know, all them guys. So it'll be a good chance to really see this D-line, you know, what they all about because, you know, they got a quarterback over there that can scat. So,
they do that.
Yeah. And even if they don't, they got a run game that's going to test your manhood. You know, you know, they can just tee up because, you know, with us being so thin and so injured linebacker, you know, they might decide to run the ball 40 times just to just pound and just wear on you. Right. So it's tough. definitely going to be fun watching the front sevens this week heading up to the game Saturday night.
Jadarius, you want to touch on that comment? And let's talk about number 35, Julius. You should have eaten tacos for it.
Yeah.
And Luke Cage.
To be honest with you, I feel like he was eating a lot of Miles Hartsfield's reps, with Miles Hartsfield dealing with a little injury there. I think he took his reps, but I wasn't impressed with him. Got beat a couple times. I feel like that nickel battle is still up for grabs, even though he's one of the guys that's battling for that spot. With Miles Hartsfield coming back healthy, I don't see him staying that low on the depth chart, especially at nickel. He's going to get it. I think he's going to take that spot, honestly. I wasn't impressed with Julius, and I didn't think he was terrible, but he didn't have the best days either.
It is what it is, folks. You know, people get injured, and you got to throw people in there, and they get exposed. It is what it is. Good question right here, man. How do y'all feel about JC not getting any playing time? I don't have any problem with it. Okay, just preseason, but I mean, you know, when you guys will touch on that?
I mean, for me, it didn't bother me because, if I'm not mistaken, the Colts didn't have none of their starting wide receivers out. So, even though he is a rookie and every rep does count, I don't have a problem with it. He definitely has earned the right to that from based on how he's played in camp. Mm-hmm. So, that's easy for me. I have zero problems with J.C. Horn not playing this past Sunday.
Yeah. JD?
I feel like your other corners on the roster benefited more from the extra playing time than JC would have benefited from like one or two series on defense. And to keep it a buck with you, I feel like what we saw was not even really what Phil Snow has in mind for the season. I think they're just installing different looks for the defense right now. It's obvious that we're going to be playing more man, that we're not going to be sitting in soft zones as much. But your defense guys has to be able to understand at least both. You need some of the both, because if you run man all the time, the whole game, you can watch the last Super Bowl. Tom Brady tore it up. And if you play zone all game, they will tear it up. So you gotta be able to do both. And I think guys like Keith Taylor, Melvin, Troy Price, Stanley Tolles Oliver, all those guys benefited from playing the whole game. I think it's not a big deal. And I think it was actually a pretty good idea on Rule's part.
I agree with you. Yeah. How many times have we gone into the first three games of the season with somebody's dinged up? I mean,
because they played 50 snaps of meaningless football.
There it is. let's see. Joey Slide needs to be deleted. Kevin, how do you feel about old Joey?
Oh, I could be alone in this, but I'm not really. Again, I'm not really all that much bothered by the fact of, the missed extra point and a missed 63 yarder. I mean, let's keep it 100. You know, he was responsible for most of our scoring.
Real talk.
You know, I mean, you take away what he did, you know what I'm saying? We got our asses handed to us, to be honest with you. Well, again, I just think his fans overreacting, magnifying every little mistake that's made from players that they may not particularly be too fond of. And I get it. But again, this is where you want to get your mistakes out. You know, you want to go back and look at what went wrong on the missed extra point. So, you know, Chase Blackburn can, you know, work with him and get it straightened out. Again, folks, like, preseason is where you want the mistakes to happen.
Right.
As far as that 63 yarder that was missed, I mean, he had the leg, it was just off. But again, how it ain't been but so many 60 yarders made in the history of the NFL anyway.
Exactly.
It may be maybe 20 made 60 yard field goals in the history of the NFL.
Facts.
So, you know, so if you take that away, he was 3 for 4, you know, as far as like overall kids, you know, he missed the extra point. So, for me, I have no issues with Joey Sly, but you know, the ones that don't care for him, you know, they're going to want to build this as their case of why he needs to be, you know, let go. But, I'm not worried about it because he was number one in NFL last year in the touchback percentage, which helps sets up our defense. And we got the type of defense that we're going to put on this year. Mm-hmm. You want the opposing team, you know, backed up on the 20 yard line. Real so, cool. You know, I'm cool with Joey Sly. That's just me.
You want to expand on that, JD? You feel the same way?
Yeah, I feel the exact same way Kev feels. I feel like most fans expect every kicker to make every kick, and that's just not realistic. Especially when you look at what we asked him to kick. We asked him to kick a 63-yarder. That's like the equivalent of like 4 or 5 steps in from half-court line. And we mad at him because he missed it. I'm like, dude, if you take that away, he only missed one other kick that day. And we and without those field goals, we're not even up in the game. We're losing. We're getting blown out. So I think you got to tamper the expectations a little bit. But I also want to shout out our punter. I thought he wasn't going to make it when he first came on. That's Charlton. Mm-hmm. Joseph Charlton. He's gotten so much better as he's gotten more experience, more accurate kicks. Everything's looking up for him. So he's hitting the striking the ball much, much better as a punter and putting our defense in better position. So as far as kickers go, y'all need to ease up a little bit. They not machines. They man too. They human too. They can be humans too.
Yeah. We'll let them be people. Yeah. Oh man. Now, I mean, we talked like really, really briefly about the Greg Little trade. Kevin, you want to go into detail about that?
Well, as far as the Greg Little trade, it goes back with my offseason prediction. I predicted he would not be on the roster.
You sure did.
This year. So if I need to go dig up my receipt, and y'all know I love digging up receipts, I got no problems doing that because I said it about that. Nice guy, but just too soft to be playing the position that he's playing. Is you know, like my football coaches tell me, boy, you sound like rabbits pissing on cotton. You know, and it was just, I mean, it was just too many times. Like even in the game, I mean, he's literally spinning around doing a full 180 while blocking on a 3-step drop.
Bruh.
Like I say, I wish him well with the rest of his career. I promise I won't lose no sleep about him being gone. I just
none.
I know we got jokes about, you know, Cam Irving and things of that nature, but I'll easily take Cam Irving over Greg Little. So
Word. Now
I don't know how much that is saying, but but the fact that we even got something back from him, that's even better. I know it's between whichever team, the 2 7-round picks, it's between 2 7-round picks, whoever ends up with the highest, that's the one that we get. I can't remember the details of it.
Mm-hmm.
I just caught a glimpse of it as I was riding down the road. But I like it. You know, it creates an opportunity for somebody else to get some more reps. You know, we've been rotating 3 or 4 guys in at left tackle all camp, just get a look. So I wish Greg Little well with the rest of his NFL career, and I'm looking forward to somebody else stepping up and really fortifying this position.
Finally. Hopefully. Yeah, keep fingers crossed, fellas. And ladies out there. JD, you have something to say about old Mr. Little?
I just want to pop my collar on that, because we be calling shots, bro.
Calling hell out of them, don't
we? I'm saying, like, y'all think We not these other people out here. They reactive. We proactive, bro. We be seeing this, and we be telling y'all beforehand. And I'm like, bro, y'all better get on it. Listening to us. Quit playing with us. And take heed when we say somebody trash and they're not going to be here. You better take heed.
Take heed, man.
Because I remember it wasn't too long ago. I said Troy Pride not going to play it down this year.
And look.
And speedy recovery to do. I don't wish no injury on nobody.
True.
Look where we at.
Wait, Thomas look Oliver, bro.
Didn't I say Stanley Thomas Oliver was going to be better than Troy? Look where we at. I'm trying to tell y'all, we really do this film stuff.
STO.
We
tell him.
Larry in the comments, we really do this, bruh. We really do this.
Stripes around here, folks. Stripes. Chevrons around here. Oh, here we go. What are y'all thinking about? And we're just going to talk questions real quick, and then we get into other stuff. I mean, but your questions are kind of bringing up what we're going to talk about anyway, so it kind of ties in. So what y'all thinking about Will Greer throwing it more against the Ravens? I mean, I know Coach Rule was talking about he really wants to see Will get some more snaps this upcoming game. Kevin, any idea on what Will could do? Is he going to take PJ's spot? I don't know.
Oh, he on mute. You want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, bro. Okay. Yeah, but far as Will Greer, I definitely look forward for him to get you know, more opportunity to show what he can do. I have no problems with him going against the Ravens. You know, when you want to see what a player got, you want him to go against good competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the Ravens, I can't remember last time the Ravens had a below average defense. You know what I'm saying? So right. I think this would be a good measuring stick to see where he's come and how far he's developed. Because truth be told, he really didn't have so many chances. And the chance he got back in 2019 was with a lame duck coach when the players had already quit on the season back in 2019.
Mm.
You know, we've been going back and forth with some people in certain Twitter circles about this. Like, don't get me wrong. Y'all know me. I was furious when we drafted Will Greer, draft. I was pissed.
Yeah, bro.
All the hell. You know, because I honestly wanted us to get the defensive back out of Florida, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's turned into a very solid player for them New Orleans Saints. But in any event, but, you know, me, so that's letting you know how unbiased I can be. A player that I did not care for, I'm looking forward to see him get an opportunity to show what he's got and what he can do. Because truth be told, people, out of the three quarterbacks on his roster, Will Greer got the best deep ball out of all three. I've seen it numerous of times in practice. So, you know, he just got to get everything else around that to be consistent. But in order to do that, you got to get practice and get reps. So, truth be told, if he played the whole game by himself, I personally would not be mad about it, because I think we already kind of know what we're getting out of PJ Walker. But, you know, the real deal is, you know, what is who is Will Greer? You know, what last time we saw Will Greer really get significant action was 2019. So he's had a whole year off. This is year three for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with him being a third round pick, you know, next year's his last year. So there's a chance that he could have, you know, possibly some value or whatever. This is a chance to really find out.
Yep. What's up? Jay?
I feel like part of me feels like it's irresponsible to have have invested a third round pick. I know it's a different GM and all that, different front office that drafted him. I think it's irresponsible that your franchise spent the third round pick on a guy and you have not thrown him in the fire yet. Even in the preseason, Like, there is no semblance of them trusting this man with anything other than holding the clipboard. Like, it's wild to me. And for Rule to say what he said, I don't believe him unless he starts him. I need him to start him.
Right.
Playing with the twos. Since you want to play coy and put him in the same spot on the depth chart, it shouldn't make a difference. Just start him. Start him. Bet you won't. I bet you he won't.
No, he won't. PJ already outclassed him already, bro. He showed a lot of poise for his first preseason game.
Real talk.
And you got to, like you mentioned, man, a third round pick on this kid, and he hasn't even really broke a sweat out there, bro. I mean, it is what it is. But I'll tell you what, man, if I'm not mistaken, Larry also said that Little wasn't going to be on this squad much longer. You know, I think all the fellas was talking about this back in March, April. Greg Little?
This might be a couple years in the making, to be honest. It feel like we've been in this trench
for a minute. You know. I mean, if you want to be real about it, Larry and Kevin were trying to figure out why the hell we even drafted that guy. And here we are. A waste of a third round pick?
Second round. We traded up. We traded up, bro. I'm saying that's why I hurt to get a fourth of a honey bun.
See,
we really got a waterfall from Kev Gatorade back for Greg Lou. I'm hurt.
Oh man. The hernia era. He did some good things, but God almighty, Marty, I swear to God.
She could call Washington and see if we could have got a fifth for him like we did for Kyle Allen. I mean, you know, hey.
Kyle, motherfucker. I know, right?
Anyway. Be like, Herney, you left something, bro.
Man. Hey, come get your guy, man. Come on. Come get this right here. So we got speaking of the Ravens, we couldn't get anybody from the Ravens podcast to get on here today, but like Kevin mentioned earlier, man, it's going to be a bloody nose event. Somebody better be geared up and ready. I don't remember Carter's name being called in the Colts game. Did he get some action?
I don't think so. No, I think they consider him a starter or gotcha. Somehow. So he sat out with the rest of the starters, I think.
Gotcha. Yeah, Carter is a one. You're right. Thank you, sir.
Jermaine gonna turn up this year, though.
Bruh, I love his motor, though. I love his motor. And that young man that we got from the Jets, he got a nice sack in the game as well. Oh, look at this dude. Look at this dude busted in.
Man.
You gonna get your ass fired, Larry.
I don't start for 30 minutes. What's up,
guys? What's good, Larry? Larry Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen, aka 4MR Smooth.
I just have a question. How come when we make statements about players, it takes people 3 or 4 years to realize we tell the truth? We told you 3 years ago Greg Little was trash. We told you damn near 5 years ago Vernon Butler was a bust. I guess he had to actually leave the team for y'all to realize that. I don't know. I told you Matt Khalil was trash before you put the jersey on. I don't know.
Receipts.
I just got questions. What are we going to name this? What are we going to name this outstanding offensive line? Is it going to be I-85 or the mid-grade brigade?
Mid-grade brigade. That's a good one.
I like that one. I like mid-grade brigade.
I wanted to address one other thing with the coaching staff. I know Ron Rivera was – the difference is that Ron was pretty obvious when he was lying to us. But Matt Rule really did believe in his lies. You know he really sat up there in front of the entire media and said that Cam Irvin is stiff competition. You know he said that? That's stiff competition? The man be lying to y'all. I just want y'all to know. Like, he be lying to y'all. So I know y'all want to believe in this new culture, this new atmosphere. It ain't much different.
Yeah, all same old shit. Oh.
People lie every day, B.
Dang.
Yeah.
Who done got him? They done stopped.
Yeah, right.
They done cut his feed. Dang.
Pull his plug.
Shepard said, cut that shit off.
They said, nah, he got his slanders.
He's talking up. Cut him. Cut that blah, blah, blah. But I was, yeah. Oh, he said my connection bad. I got my point crossed. You did. Yeah, you did. We got you, bro.
Nah, they go, Federer, they go put that hit out on us, him. Man. Federer, so put that hit out on him.
Cut his shit off. But, yo, I mean, Larry got a point, folks. For real. I mean, that's what I love. That's what I love about podcasts, right? You can go back through our stuff and check out what we've been saying. Like for real. We have archives. Go check it out. Go check it out. Our roster issues, if they would address this stuff that we were talking about 2 seasons ago, we wouldn't be in this position.
Facts.
We would have a better O-line. I'm just saying, bro. Like, our cap situation wouldn't have taken this long to start to recorrect itself. I mean, these guys know what they're talking about, yo. Real talk. He said HR is on his ass. Oh, man. But while we're right here, shout out to Manscaped. If you guys haven't checked them out, of course, you see the ticker at the bottom there, 4MRscaped20. You type that in when you order your stuff from their website there, right there on the screen, manscaped.com. You will receive 20% off and free shipping. And if you don't use that code, folks, you will pay for shipping, and it's not cheap. Trust me. I'm just saying. So 4MRscape20, that's the code. Manscaped.com, that's the website. Go check them out, folks. They have great package deals for you, man, to take care of all the male regions below the old belt line and all the good stuff, man. And actually, you know, razor grooming, cologne, all the good stuff, yo. So check them out. Manscaped.com, folks. It's right there for you. Enjoy that. Enjoy that. And you can listen to the podcast while you're searching. real talk. Hey, appreciate that, man. Just step for Sly, bro. You beefing with Sly, man. I tell you what though, man. I guarantee you he'll win us some games, though, man. He'll win us some games. He did that last year because apparently we couldn't get the offensive rolling. When the defense was clicking, and we couldn't get the defense clicking when the offense was clicking, and so we won some games because of Joey Sly. So I mean, that's evident. But you know, looking for a better kicker is something we should look into. I wouldn't waste a draft pick on it. That's just me. But yeah, you know. Trimble, Kev talked up Trimble before we went to that game when Vashaw was on here. Tell him about it, Kev.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned that, you know, what I've been seeing in the camp outside of a little stretch period where he had a case of the drops is that, you know, the kid's got hands. He's a very good route runner. He seems to know the spots to where to go to. And, you know, that touchdown he caught from PJ Walker, that thing was a bullet. There wasn't no touch pass he caught. I mean, he caught that thing. It wasn't no bobbling. It just, like, stuck to his hands, you know. And that was six, folks. So, the issues in the red zone, short yardage, I just think that we got the talent from a skill position point of view to really, you know, think about it. So, mm-hmm. You know, with everybody, you know, focus on like a Dan Arnold and a McCaffrey or, you know, receivers like DJ and Robbie, you know, you're going to have some guy like this. You know, especially if we come out in 12 personnel that you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to consider, you know, and the fact that he has an H-back type mentality where he can line up either on the line or off the line, and or could be in the backfield. I just really think that's going to give him the ability to be put in positions to really be like that solid killer on the stat sheet. May not be that guy you want to pick up on fantasy, but he's that guy that's making them plays that really help make a difference in the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but I was definitely glad to see him get that touchdown. It's a good feeling for him. I know he didn't have that many at Notre Dame like that. Tommy Trouble, I mean, hey, he's on the team. He's got my support. I just really look forward to just seeing him have the opportunity to develop and grow from this past game and to keep moving forward.
Right. Jadarius, do you want to mention something on Trimble?
Yeah. I was impressed overall. First pass he caught was like a play action boot. Mm-hmm. I think he might have been a check down on that play, but did well enough to get almost 10 yards. So that, and then the route, I think one of the things that people don't understand with the route where Trimble came all the way across the field to steal the ball from Bayless, mm-hmm. he was moving. He was booking it. He was like, I don't think people understand how fast he is. But to come all the way across the field like that, and not even bobble a pass and just pluck it out the air like that. That was pretty impressive for me, for a guy that's not was not heralded as somebody that's the most savvy or the best receiving tight end ever. But I was on the Trimble train way before draft night. He was my 43rd person overall on my big board out of all the prospects. I had like 200 prospects on that board. He was number 43. So I saw the glimpses of it. It was good to see in live action for us.
Word. Larry said Matt Rule had y'all believing there was really a competition to left tackle. He did. And now we got people on Twitter talking about, oh, Brady Christensen was he had a stellar job, and he did a great job, and X, Y, and Z. I'm like, bro, did you see the way that DN just absolutely abused him in that red zone situation where PJ got out of the pocket and got the pass off to Trimble? If that wasn't PJ, I don't know if that play would have happened, man. That was a great escape move for him, man. But look at that play again, folks. I mean, Brady just got absolutely abused. The old dislodge and chuck his butt on out the way. He said, like, Jesus Christ, man. Whew.
Did y'all hear the post game about that particular play that really wasn't supposed to be that touchdown to Trimble?
Yeah, that was, he was looking at number, was it 17, 16?
It was originally supposed to be a clock play. They were supposed to spike it or kneel or something like that.
Yeah, supposed to let it get to the 2 minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
So the play that shouldn't have been ended up being a touchdown. So hey.
Was that on PJ? Was that PJ's call or?
Yeah, that was on PJ because it was a play that was it was two plays that was sent in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, based on the look, you know, either run it or clock it. So Rule was apparently telling him in his headset to clock it, but PJ just went in and ran the play. And like I said, if it was for his athletic ability to escape that DN pressure from that was coming from the attempted pass block by Brady Christensen. that play really was supposed to have been take us to the 2 minute warning.
It's a risk.
Wait a minute.
What?
Stop. How does that make sense to you from a strategy standpoint? To clock it to get the to the 2 minute warning instead of running another play.
The clock was running, so it was just be like, you know, the play clock was running. I guess to try to milk the 2 minutes, you know, milk it and then, you know, run plays to milk down the remaining 2 minutes. you know, to limit the other team from, you know, you scoring first of all, getting the, but also limit them.
So they're taking time off the clock. So the
I was about to say, hold on, that don't even make sense to me. Rule, what are you on? That's probably why. That's probably. I was like, wait a minute. Now that I'm hearing it out loud, wait a minute. Because I kinda, see that's probably why it was two plays given instead of one.
We're kind of block it. Yeah, we're kind of skeptical of Rule anyway, man. You know,
I gotta check his work sometimes, bro. Because some of the stuff he pulled last year.
Lord mercy. I'm just saying. I know people are making fun about these guys running laps and shit and hitting the side and all that stuff. Larry mentioned something in a comment. Let's see if I can find that real quick. He was Kevin. This is directed to you actually. Kevin Avery, since we don't practice red zone, silent cadence, or mental discipline in the trenches, what do we practice?
How to slap a sign?
I mean, conditioning. That's a practice conditioning. Now, go ahead, Kev. How you feel about Larry's comment here?
I mean, it's a joke, but you know, it's got some substance to it.
It does. It does.
But now we do. We have practiced a lot of red zone situational football. I really have been seeing a lot of that. Prior to them leaving for Indy. So, truth be told, yeah, a lot of emphasis on red zone, on short yardage, fourth down plays. I've seen a lot of situational football being practiced at training camp. So, definitely going to be interesting seeing, you know, what else they add to it. Obviously, you know, this whole talk about the cadence not being put in and things like that. I mean, I get it. You know, that should have been thought of. But again, we're talking about Rule's first preseason game. I mean, how many, you know, probably wasn't expecting that many people to be there, you know, with all the restrictions and, you know, things like that. So it was a misjudgment, but it's not something that some people are trying to, you know, build a case for a Rule, because here's the thing. We didn't hear about that by none of the road games last year, did we? But there not been a silence cadence. So, you know, like I said, people who have a personal vendetta against a certain player or a certain coach, they're going to try to build these, these big court cases and, you know, against them with just every single thing that gets done. Again, would you rather this happen in preseason or regular season? You know, so when you get all critical about what's going on or when a mistake is made, you know, that's the whole key.
Thanks. Chime in, JD.
I honestly, the way I feel about it, I feel like we just be practicing our form when we run laps. I'm not. And Kev is the boots on the ground as far as what they've been doing at training camp and stuff. I honestly don't know what's been going on, like from that kind of perspective. He's the guy to go to for that. If y'all want to go back and check out some of his write-ups, he touches on a little bit of this situation and ball.
At the fourmanrush.com. Fourmanrush.com. Go check that out.
Shameless plug. Job by Kev with those breakdowns, letting us know what's going on. But I feel like this is the time, like Kev mentioned, you want to iron out the kinks when it don't matter. It's not going to count against your record. I feel like that's probably a part of the reason why we struggled so much in situational ball last year, is that we just didn't have those looks or that muscle memory for Rule to call a timeout here or to go for it on fourth and short. I think you saw a little bit of that situational ball to where we didn't necessarily need to do a certain call, but we did it just to get the look. I think that was missed sorely last year. And I think Rule and them will get better at situational ball as the year progresses. Still a young coaching crew. So I think with the more looks we get with situational ball, the better we'll get at executing those those calls strategically.
Well done. Well done. I know people mentioning Hubbard in the chat. Excellent showing by him in terms of, you know, staying with it. I know he got popped a couple of times. I was wondering if he's going to get back up. but man, you know, he has good leverage. He keeps his feet moving. Obviously, you know, his big play was that 59-yard run where he did get run down, somebody mentioned. It's something about rookies. They don't know how to pace themselves when it comes to a game. You saw that with Marshall and that wide open reception that he got. Most seasoned receivers will catch that shit in a situation and take off, and that's six. He just simply ran out of gas. If you guys played Pop Warner back in the day, you know, when he was little, you didn't know how to necessarily pace yourself. You get that ball open, he was gassing, man. Hubbard's he's a good running back, man. But like somebody mentioned, Joshua mentioned, you know, Bonifant. We've seen what he can do, but he got explosion. He can catch the ball somewhat. He's special, man. What do you think? What do you think, Kevin? Number two position of the running back. Is that gonna be Bonifant? Is that gonna be Hubbard?
You know, I'm on Team Bonifant. That's just me, because with him, and let me say this correctly so people don't think I'm trying to say they're the same. He does possess the same versatility that Christian McCaffrey does. You can line him up anywhere in the backfield. You can line him up in the slot. You can line him up out wide. So, knock on wood, you know, he's the type of player that if McCaffrey wasn't available for whatever reason, you don't have to change the playbook. You know, because he allows you to have that same type of versatility and flexibility that you have with the McCaffrey. You know, because one of the things, and if you want to call it nitpicking about the game, I need for my second round pick wide receiver and my fourth round pick running back not to get walked down. You know, I mean, those should have been house calls, in my opinion.
Every one of both of them. Yep.
You know, I don't. I mean, I don't know what to say. Because from what I saw on the TV, I didn't see nobody in front of them. So, you know, that, like I say, call it nitpicking, but I think that those were touchdowns left on the board right there.
Yes, sir.
My own small personal opinion. But hey, again, first preseason game, you know, to be interested to see in practice, you know, after they catch, that they sprinting to the end zone instead of trotting. We'll see if that's going to be implemented in practice, but overall, and that's not a knock against Chubert, because you know, for those of us that was keeping up with the you know, the tweets that were going on during the tour day with the Colts, Hubert was like killing on the kickoff game. He broke one out. He broke one. He ran one all the way back, and he had another long one shortly thereafter. So Hubert definitely has talent, has ability. But when I'm looking for in my number two running back, Bonifant is more refined with his. So for the meet, no, Hubbard has not proved that he's a number two running back. That doesn't mean he doesn't have number two running back potential, because he definitely does. But like I say, he's a rookie. You know, and he's a fourth round rookie. You know, this is not, Etienne. You know, Travis Etienne. This is not Najee Harris or whatever it is. This is a day three. Let me improve the bottom half of my roster. Type pick.
True.
And there's nothing wrong with him starting off that way.
Nope.
You know, hell, look like he already had more reps than the last running back we drafted, Jordan Scarlett, already in one game.
Poor guy.
Yeah. So, let's not be so quick to just throw them in there because they draft picks. You know, let them earn their opportunities.
Word. JD.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to say Hubbard is RB2 yet. That guy's been bona fide for as long as I can remember. I think Reggie he closely resembles the totality of what Christian gives you as far as versatility. Bonifon was a former wide receiver at Louisville. Solid wide receiver, good routes, good hands, solid hands. Explosive. Mm-hmm. Jump cuts go crazy. Elusive. Yeah. All those things are what Christian gives you. And I think Hubbard gives you shades of those things. But I think as far as skill goes, skill for skill, I think Bonifon is the next closest thing to Christian McCaffrey we have on the roster. And I think it's mismanaging our talent to not get him on the field any way we can. So if it means that we have to put Bonifon in the slot, I'm with it. If it means he got to return some kicks, I'm with it. Just get the man the ball, please.
Put him
get him the ball in space. Mm-hmm. Please, just do it.
Word. I've always been a Bonifon fan, even though he had a chance to get a touchdown on that. I think was that also the Jacksonville game? He hit him dead in his hands and fell right through. I know he had a long run in that game, but he also had a situation. I think it was a Jacksonville game. I can't remember. But he hit him dead in his hands.
I think that might have been because that was like the only game he had several targets and touches.
Yeah.
It might have been that game.
So I mean, like Kev said, man, he's a refined runner, bro. You get him out in the open, he's gone. He's gone. He outran the whole Jacksonville squad. So I got confidence in him, man. I got confidence in him. We'll see. Stay tuned. Cameron Artis Payne. I was a big Cameron Artis Payne fan. I'm just going to put myself out there. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I said you wasn't alone. I was with
you. I like the man, bro. He had great feet.
Bro, I'm saying them cuts was crazy. If you go back and look at them, it was crazy.
He's real, bro. Real. Marshall. Yeah. We spoke briefly about him. But man, he looks good. But the other receiver, what's my man's name? That was getting off Sunday. Oh, God, I can't remember his name. It was Marshall, and what was his number 83? I believe that was his number.
That's David Moore.
He had some good catches. He had some good catches Sunday, man. He had some good outing. She Smith.
What about what about the one shot Smith caught on the sidelines?
That was a pretty pass, tough. Too. That was a pretty pass.
That was his only target that game, I think.
Only target. Good pass, good catch.
That low-key made me mad because I want to see more.
Yeah. More. Well, I was surprised about Moore, man. I was really impressed by that. But folks, if you again go check the receipts, Jadarius has been speaking high about she's since we drafted the kid. Before we drafted the kid, Kevin was talking about how he was running these remarkable routes in practice and things of that nature, man. Bro, Smith ready. Bashtow was telling you about him. He's ready. Kids ready. You guys want to talk about the receivers?
Oh, I'm always ready to talk about receivers. Let's do it. from what we've seen, I think that past game, I think the guy that rose the highest in the receiving room has to be Terrace Marshall, given the fact that we were told that he was going to be brought along slowly. Mm-hmm. Coming off that injury, coming in from college, I didn't see any slow bringing him on. Rule said himself, they're trying to force feed him. My favorite in the room is still Shai Smith. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a matter of time before he starts to eat up some of the snaps and targets that the other guys are getting. Let's see, Omar Bayless. I'm a little upset he didn't get more targets. Somebody that's been killing preseason and training camp for like 2 years now before he got hurt last year and now this year. So I need these guys to get more targets, more looks. I think we know what David Moore is at this point. I think you need to let your rookies eat some of the, and those your younger guys eat some of those targets. And I think they moved too soon from that core group of Omar Shai and Marshall. I think they took them out of the game too soon versus the Colts. And I don't think I need to see Vontaze Burfict out here running routes for Will Greer or whoever the second backup quarterback is. It's just no need for that. Let your guys that you know need the reps get the reps.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, what you saying about this receiver in class, man? We got some depth, bro.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw a name out here that might cause a little bit of stir. Because I don't know, I see mixed feelings, but the truth of the matter is he can catch. He runs good routes. He's got good hands. They can play the special teams. I'm talking about Brandon Zylstra. And I was reading in the comments earlier that someone was saying, you know, what if it come down to Brandon Zylstra or Shai, scared they're going to keep Brandon and stash Shai on the practice squad. No, nobody's going to put Shai Smith on nobody's practice squad to be plucked and be, you know, going somewhere. That's like giving the Chiefs a gift. You know, they stay looking at our bag of goodies, sure, our draft picks. So now whether all 11 of our draft picks make the roster, yet to be seen. But I think Brandon Zylstra, I think he's going to be one of the ones that is going to get one of the last receiver spots, primarily because, like I said, he's if nothing else, he's consistent. Now, he's not flashy, but he's consistent. He, like I said, he catches the ball. He runs good routes. He's a core player on all four special team units. And, you know, the more you can do, the more value that you add.
True.
Now, he's someone that had to grow on me. I really wasn't a huge fan of him last year, but just watching him over the offseason, I could definitely see why he's back on the team. And I think he adds value to the bottom part of the wide receiver depth. So I've been impressed with him so far, what I've seen in camp. You know, he had some amazing catches where he dragged his toe and, you know, some tight sidelines, you know, type plays. So I think Brandon Zylstra's definitely going to have a say on one of the receiver spots. And if he does, like, you really have no reason to be mad or question it, because that's either your own personal bias, your mind is already made up that you don't want him on the team or don't think he's worthy of it. Because if you took off the number and just watched the performance, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's the guy, you know. But like I say, fans like who they like. They hate who they hate. So I get it. But I definitely think as far as the receiving room, Brandon Zylstra is someone that's really stuck out to me and has performed well.
I think the dark horse to make the 53 right now might be C.J. Saunders. If you look at some of the write-ups Kev has written, he's also another guy that has been standing out, and he returns kicks and punts as well. So somebody that's sure-handed, runs good, quick routes from the slot, I think that's something that we missed for a little while in our receiving core, is that slot-type guy. And I see the guys in the comments mentioning Amendola. I think that's your Amendola right there, C.J. Saunders.
Yep, that's what everybody's saying in the chat. He's an Amendola type, and that's what he is. And we see how reliable he's been. So, I mean, that's not a bad tag to have, but if you're a wide receiver.
And the fact that we're going to be able to bring up two practice squad players on game day to push the roster to 55, I think that gives a unique opportunity for us to keep six and possibly add a seventh. You know, because I can see about two or three wide receivers that can you know, contributor special teams, such as a Brandon Zylstra, such as a Shai Smith, such as a CJ Saunders, because, you know, he returns as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can never have too many returners.
Right.
You know,
I'm sick of the days where we had Joe Webb returning kicks and stuff.
Joe fucking Webb.
We had our backup quarterback out there.
Oh, my God.
And we tried to market it. We were trying to market it, too. We said he is Swiss Army knife.
Yeah. He could do it all.
But let me do this. Joe Webb or Farrell Cooper?
Joe Webb. Joe Webb. Yeah. Joe Webb.
Joe Webb.
Webb.
Joe Webb. Sorry.
Joe Webb.
Sorry. Joe Webb.
I'm dead.
Easy. Trenton Cannon is a missile. Yeah, Trenton Cannon is a missile. He is. Several people have asked this question in the chat, fellas. Luke Kuechly in Buffalo. Is it a big deal? I've seen people getting pissed about it. I've seen people be like, "Yeah, whatever, man. You know, it's football. It's, you know, let him go get a job." Yada yada yada. You guys have any thoughts about Luke and him possibly working in Buffalo, or what the hell is he doing in Buffalo? Maybe went up there to get some wings. I don't know. Shit.
Man said he was going to Buffalo to get some wings.
I'm just saying.
It could be. They got authentic wings up there.
The real deals.
Ain't it?
Real deal. What do you think, Jadarius? Is it a thing?
I think what Panthers fans need to understand is that Luke is a legend in this generation of football. Many young players, not just Panther players. You got linebackers all over the league. Linebackers he never even played with saying, "Oh, I wanted to be like Luke Kuechly." Look at Darius Leonard. He got paid, and he said, I want to be like Luke Kuechly. So you got to understand that this man is a legend in the game, and he's more than just a player. The brain, the knowledge he has for the game, it supersedes anything Panthers related. This is like, he changed the game for linebackers. Now everybody's looking for that Mike linebacker that can cover like a safety and hit like a linebacker. Yeah. So I think it's overstated, and I think it's a little selfish on our part to ask that man to spend 9 years beating up his body here and then faulting him for retiring, getting sad, and acting like the man doesn't have a life to live and family and all that good stuff. And then we get mad because he went back to a scheme to help a coach that whose scheme he knows. This right. is an entirely different scheme. Like, we can't act like Luke hasn't been in a 4-3 his whole life, and then he comes to Carolina. Well, Snow and them come to Carolina and switch it up to a hybrid, and now look. McDermott been running the same defense for the whole time.
Right.
That's what Luke know.
Right.
And if he feel like he can help their linebackers, by golly, go help him. Right. And I hope you be a coach one day. And I hope you win the Super Bowl.
Oh, man, way,
since we can't get you one.
Imagine that man on the sideline with a headset on. Boy, Luke Kuechly, bro. Oh, my God.
That stress.
Oh.
They don't want that stress. Look, Sean McVay don't want that stress.
Oh. What? You talking about somebody planning an ass whooping coming for you, boy? Oof. Kevin, what do you think about Luke, bro?
Yo, y'all remember Luke in that 16 game up in Seattle when he fussed at Rivera?
Yeah, I do.
Boy,
we was like, damn.
Yo, he went off.
Yeah, bro. Oh shit.
I don't think I ever seen that side of Luke.
Yep. You can see it all.
But, yeah, but for me, this is a non-story. And any Panther fan and it was hard-pressed to find any Panther fans that didn't like Luke, but for those of y'all that's feeling all in y'all damn feelings, I want y'all to do me a favor. I want you to go to the mirror. I want you to get real close. And I want you to just subtly apply a lot of pressure using the back of your hand to that mirror, because y'all are acting the fuck up. Because it is not that damn serious. Understand, like you said, Luke Kuechly is a legend. He's going up there to visit. So what if he's, you know, sharing you know, his information. So what his, you know, former defense coordinator asked him to come up and, you know, help him out a little bit. Mm. Why not? You know, that doesn't change anything he ever did for Carolina.
Sure don't.
You know what I'm saying? It don't take nothing from him. So, yeah, all you Panther fans has got issue with Luke Kuechly and talking about traitor and all this other stuff. You know, find a chair, turn it upside down, and sit on it hard and fast. That's how I feel about it. Because it's uncalled for. You know, that man was willing, you know, risk, you know, his livelihood for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think he made all pro every year but one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and he got hurt that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so, you know, you folks that's mad got some, you know, gall and audacity to even fit your mouth to have anything, you know, bad to say about Luke Kuechly. I can see if he went to the Saints, Bucks, ooh, or Falcons and did this, you know, ooh, then I'd be like, he went to a whole nother conference,
mm-hmm,
on the opposite side of the Eastern Seaboard,
mm-hmm,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, damn, he's damn near in Canada, you know, and y'all feeling some kind of way about that. No, like I said, find that mirror, take the back of your hand, apply pressure until you stop, because this is nonsense. This is no big deal. You know, like oh, he's taking all the secrets with him.
Man, it don't work that way, folks.
What secrets?
There are defense, no secrets.
This is the same defense that Sean McDermott ran, so he's just sharing what he knows about it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the Larry typed here, and let me just read this for you podcast listeners. I think a level of respect also has to be given to McDermott. I mean, he truly was a key to just about all of our real success on defense during the Rivera era. Everybody on that defense respects him, and that's true. And people tend to dismiss what Sean McDermott did for the Carolina Panthers. Ron Rivera was integral. Don't get it twisted. But Sean McDermott, and we saw what happened to our defense after Sean left. Sean McDermott was a bigger piece to our Super Bowl run than Ron Rivera. Don't sleep on it.
Talk to him.
Don't sleep on it. Sean McDermott got us to the Super Bowl. I'm not quite sure about Ron Rivera. I'm just saying. Ron's a hell of a coach. He's a good leader. But Sean McDermott was an XO guy, and he knew the pieces to put in place to make that defense just trill. And every year we got better with that defense, man. Luke's going to be a hell of a coach one day, and I think it would be stupid if he didn't go work for Coach McDermott. I think it would be absolutely stupid if he didn't do that for his career. Real talk. I agree with you fellas, man. You know, just, yeah.
That's if he wants to coach, because Luke Kuechly, you know, he loves his outdoors. He loves to go fishing.
He does. He loves his freedom. Yeah. Yeah.
Let Luke Kuechly do whatever the fuck Luke Kuechly wants to damn do. Because, you know, you ain't got the two choices. Shut up and like it.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean McDermott's a beast, man. And yeah, you never know. Luke just might want to go up there and say hi. There's some good fishing spots up that way too. Good hunting up there too, man. So,
mm-hmm. I feel like what we don't understand about Luke is that when it comes to football, he's either all in or he has to separate himself. I think that's why he kind of walked away from us. Mm-hmm. It's because he realized I'm still spending as much time as I was playing. And I'm supposed to be taking a step back and doing the things I like to do. Yeah, and I think it came down to him being like, okay, I'm gonna just have to walk away because I won't be able to do the things I want to do with the family and the people I love because I'm still spending so much time watching film. Right. I think that's what the case was. And I think Sean McDermott just happened to call in a favor this time.
Probably. Hey, so before we wrap up, fellas, let's touch on this Denzel Perryman worth signing situation. I think it was the last podcast, maybe the one before that, when we mentioned. I think Kevin mentioned we should probably just wait to see him week one.
of the season, of the regular season. What do you still hold that to be true, Kevin? Was it a good idea bringing in Denzel?
Yeah, I definitely think it was. I mean, his stats support it. I get it. You know, he already had an injury history and missing games like that, a missing training camp. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, whatever it takes for him to come in the regular season as healthy as possible. I mean, he's a proven vet around this league. You know, Charger fans hated that they couldn't keep him. So, you know, and if you follow him on IG, you'll realize he's a funny dude as well. Definitely very entertaining. So,
you got a sense of humor.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And if you're posting his pictures, I mean, dude lives in them. Dude is a chiseled rock. You know what I'm saying? He definitely takes his health to the highest level of excellence. So I just really think that, this is one of the things. Yeah, it's a nuance, but really, what are we missing? This isn't some rookie learning. This is a veteran player. So,
right.
I'm good with it. I'm excited to see him. Like I said, as long as he's healthy and ready to go, come week one against the Jets, you know, I'm all for it.
Right on. JD, why don't you tackle this question right here? Perryman over Carter or Carter over Perryman?
That's a good question.
That's two different types of linebackers, but go ahead.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
I was just about to mention that.
Great point.
Shout out
Great
Coach point. Russell with the question. That's my family.
What's up, Coach?
Man, I think I'll go ahead and touch on the first one since I had something to say. I'll feed that into the second part. I think Denzel Perryman was worth bringing in just because we've had so many passive linebackers. We had passive linebacker play last year, and that's not his game at all. For Perryman, he's coming downhill. He's tagging your fanny like old boy DG up in Y says. Mm-hmm. So I think from that perspective alone, we needed another thumper on the roster or somebody that's going to be aggressive, play fast. So I think it was worth it in that perspective. I think Jermaine Carter is going to be the starter, man. I just got that gut feeling that Jermaine Carter is going to end up starting, and then Denzel Perryman is going to end up being one of our stalwarts on special teams, and then coming in and spelling either Shaq or Carter, given the situation or given that they need a breather. I think Jermaine Carter is more suited to be an every down backer in our system, in that he's aggressive, but he also can move a little better in coverage. So I think at this point, even if Carter starts over Perryman, it was still worth bringing Perryman in on the simple fact that we needed guys that can play aggressive, play fast, and attack the right gaps at linebacker. And that will be a huge upgrade from last year.
Good point, man. Well, there you go, Coach. I like Carter's attitude, man. Like they mentioned, I like his energy. He's a thumper. He's a thumper. If he can just keep his attitude in check, so he can stay on the field and not you know punish the defense, flags, penalties, things of that nature. Oh, bro, I agree with the guys, man. He's a great fit. But you can't negate what Denzel's done and what he brings. I mean, he's a hell of a run stopper, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he punishes pulling old linemen, bro. If he knows where you're going and he beats you to the spot, it's a wrap.
It's over.
He's thumping your ass.
He reminds me so much of a young Beeson, man.
Yeah.
Just looking at the Miami film, the same number, all that good stuff. Boy, if you just took like and put it in like 360p on YouTube. You took it, Jermaine. You took Denzel Perryman's film. You wouldn't be able to tell the difference between the two. Straight Dang. Up.
That's a great compliment right there, man.
Yo, and since we playing the Jets week one, ask Mekhi Becton about Perryman. Oh, that's a highlight film. Where now, mind you, Mekhi Becton about what 6'6", 350 easily.
Yeah,
Big dude.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
And boy, on an off tackle play or a toss sweep, I believe.
Yeah.
Perriman unasked Big Beckman to make the top. Now Perriman not a tall linebacker either. You know,
he's not.
If I'm not mistaken.
It's like what, mm-hmm. six foot?
Probably six, under
six,
that.
Six one at best, if that.
Yeah.
You know, yo, and because he had leverage and force, he unasked Big Beckton on which is some sort of play with a tackle, pulls out and lead.
Yep.
And he unasked him and made the tackle on the play. So
sure did, so, bro.
You know,
need that.
Yeah, I mean, so we need that. So again, I'm not gonna make any fuss about what's done or not done in preseason. All that matters to me is that we are at our healthiest come week one.
Word.
Mm-hmm.
Some starters are starters for a reason. So I mean, either way, one of those guys we plug in will be ready to play. They'll be ready to play, but you know, like Kevin said, they're bringing something different to the table. Obviously, since we're playing the Jets, man, you can't go wrong with Carter or Denzel in my eyes, because the Jets quarterback situation is laughable. But, you know. Neither here nor there. Neither here nor where. No there. Deshaun Watson. We are not talking about Deshaun Watson. No, Coach. Yeah. Stop. Deshaun Watson is a Texan, and he'll stay a Texan. Damn it. Oh man. Oh yeah. People have been talking about that. What's that? Minshew down in Jacksonville. Minshew.
Yeah,
Gardner coming up here. Why?
Oh, I missed that.
We have trade people. Oh, well, it was a Twitter rumor.
Oh, of course, yeah. Of course.
Man, but we're not trading no quarterbacks, people. We're not. Oh, Kevin slipped off the screen. But sorry, Coach. We ain't talking about that shit. We ain't talking about that shit, Coach. All right, man. So hey, Panther fans, we thank you so much for you guys dropping by here on our Facebook, Twitter live feed. We do this every Tuesday from now on, especially during the season. And after our preseason, our fourth preseason game, last preseason game of the preseason, we're going to do our post game podcast. Well, it's a post game show. It's not a podcast necessarily. It's a post game live with you guys, and we're going to talk about the game, you know, what we thought and what we saw and all of this stuff, and exchange ideas like we normally do. Cool. That's what's up. Of course, again, 4MRscape20. That's what you guys need to check out, and you know, get your stuff, man. Get your stuff. 4MR. I mean, it's 4MRscape20 is the code. Manscaped.com is the website. Take care of yourself. Jadarius, you have anything to say? Any closing the shots?
Oh, yeah. Shout out Phil Hoskins, man. I ain't get to shout out the man. Boy turned up on him.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That film, that's some good film he put out there. And then yeah. I need to see him rise up on this depth chart, to be honest with you.
No doubt. Thanks, Bill. Yeah, man. Hey, there's some bright spots out there, folks. We got some bright spots on this team. Got some bright spots. Hopefully it'll pan out into the regular season. Yeah, thanks you guys. Appreciate the shout out, everybody. Luke Cage, Bill, KD, Coach, what's good? Sideline, Hero, everybody. Thanks so much for you guys for coming out. And as always, keep pounding. Yes, sir. All right, y'all. Y'all be good, man.
She love it. We out in public and we can just chill with my partners and we can go back to my crib and just chill on the covers. And do we come in and you love us?
The 4-Man Rush is brought to you by the love and respect of and for the Carolina Panthers and Carolina Panther fans everywhere. Keep pounding. The 4-Man Rush is a non-affiliate of the Carolina Panther organization. All thoughts, assessments, and content of this podcast is directly related to the 4-Man Rush exclusively. Thank you.